Well, it's 15 September. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the Wednesday CG Report. Police state? That and other things to go over on today's report. All right, a lot of COVID articles for you today. Zero Hedge, COVID zero. New Zealand has completed its transformation into a full-blown police state. New Zealand, the last of the dedicated COVID-zero nations on Earth, has completed its transformation into a full-blown tyrannical regime, and shockingly, it has come with the consent of the vast majority of Kiwis. Once hailed as the media and public health experts' favorite COVID-19 managerial success story, the puff pieces have been increasingly hard to find as Wellington has spawned a dystopian concoction of insane, despotic government edicts claimed as an absolute necessary part of their everlasting fight against a disease with a 99.8% recovery rate. Just observe what has happened in the Five Eyes partner nation during this week alone. One, virtually the entire country is once again under an indefinite lockdown after a few COVID-19 cases were reported throughout the nation. A single case necessitates a snap lockdown in which all rights of millions of citizens are immediately restricted and indefinitely subject to the contaminant of a seasonal respiratory disease. The current lockdown has been extended over Auckland until at least mid-September, with many predicting a much lengthier sentence. According to past precedent, Kiwis will not receive their freedom back until, this is the truly insane part of zero COVID, there is zero community spread of COVID-19. And the second another case pops up on the radar, the entire country goes back into square one of the zero COVID protocol. Two. A man is being shamed by his countrymen for having the audacity to escape from a government-sanctioned COVID internment camp. The camps have been described in a more positive but false light by the press and government officials as quarantine hotels. But it is most certainly an internment facility, as leaving is not allowed, and it carries a fine and lengthy prison sentence. The country's police and military services are installing security checkpoints throughout New Zealand in an effort to make sure citizens are not traveling during the lockdown. Freely traveling during the lockdown now carries a massive fine and/or prison sentence as punishment. New Zealand now is the only country in the world left that is dedicated to COVID zero, the pursuit of the total elimination of a virus from their nation, which has been under a government-sanctioned self-siege since the beginning of 2020. All of the other nations that have attempted to pursue the pseudoscience behind COVID zero have failed in a catastrophic fashion. Poor folks that believe in freedom and liberty in New Zealand, that's all I can say because there isn't any. From Zero Hedge, Australia is now confiscating booze delivered to people forced into lockdown. And but the latest sign that COVID lockdown Australia has abandoned all pretense of a democrat society and has effectively become a police state. Aussies are now having their booze confiscated in the name of health monitoring. Apartment blocks subject to lockdown measures in New South Wales, which is home to Sydney and other large population centers, are reportedly being monitored by the government's New South Wales Health Agency. Residents in apartment blocks locked down by the New South Wales Health are having their alcohol deliveries policed as a part of a policy to limit the number of drinks being consumed each day. Residents of one particular building have accused authorities of doing random searches of their private mail and care packages sent by family members and friends. They are searching all bags and things coming into the building. You know what this is the police confiscate this stuff, and then they go back to the police station. They have a big booze party. That's what's going on. Anyway, we'll go on. They confiscated a series of gifts, one resident of Mission Australia's Common Ground building in Camperdown said. So things like bottles of spirits, we weren't allowed to have those, and we still aren't. The complaints came after New South Wales Health took control of select apartment buildings, ostensibly in order to monitor and limit the spread of the coronavirus, which means in some cases where infections have been found, all residents were forced into isolation. These buildings are deemed under strict lockdown and have a police presence around them, apparently even intercepting mail. A statement in the national media confirmed that health authorities are enforcing the following restrictions. Residents are allowed to receive a ration of one of the following: 6 beers or pre-mixed drinks, 1 bottle of wine, or 1 375-milliliter bottle of spirits. Excess alcohol is being confiscated until lockdown rules are lifted. Throughout most of the pandemic, pubs in large cities like Sydney have remained closed, along with other public venues like gyms, hairdressers, and restaurants. This fueled a rise in online alcohol sales and home deliveries. But apparently authorities are sweeping in to take this option away too. Australian health authorities are promising that pubs will once again soon be open, but only after they implement a state vaccine passport app, which will enable clients to be screened at the door over whether they've been double jabbed yet. Once again, you got New Zealand, you got Australia, all these folks down under are living in police states. Okay, from Insider Paper, Australian State New South Wales Premier warns unvaccinated won't have same freedom as vaccinated. I would say not. From Zero Hedge, Quebec, that's north of us. If you don't know your directions, north is, let's see, where is, right over there. Yes, that's south, that's, yes, that's east, that's west, that's north, and that's south. I had to think for a second. Anyway, if you head that way, a long distance, you'll get to Quebec. Quebec orders all healthcare workers to get vaccinated or be suspended without pay. The province of Quebec has become the latest local government and the first in Canada to decree that all nurses working in the province will need to get vaccinated by October 15th, or they will be suspended without pay. The decision isn't exactly a surprise. Authorities have said in recent weeks that they intended to make vaccination mandatory for healthcare workers, but they didn't specify a deadline or consequences for workers who didn't follow the mandate until Tuesday. Vaccine passports will also be required for visitors to hospitals. It's not just nurses who will be affected. Doctors, midwives, professionals in private clinics, and volunteers will all need to be vaccinated before entering a hospital. From PJ Media, the CDC just made an Orwellian change to the definition of vaccine and vaccination. For your entire life, you've known that when you get vaccinated, you're protected from a particular disease. You've probably been vaccinated for such diseases as polio, tetanus, measles, diphtheria, and others, and you no longer have to worry about them. Because the whole reason your parents took you to the doctor to get those shots was to protect you from those diseases. Polio in particular has been completely wiped out in the United States thanks to the immunity created by vaccination. This is why the CDC says that vaccines provide immunity, which means that we can be exposed to a disease without becoming infected by it. At least they used to. A recent change on the CDC website should disturb all of us because it appears that the CDC is trying to change how we understand vaccinations. Here's the definition of terms for immunization as captured on August 26, 2021. Immunity, protection from an infectious disease. If you are immune to a disease, you can be exposed to it without becoming infected. Vaccine, a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease, protecting the person from that disease. Vaccines are usually administered through needle injections, but can also be administered by mouth or sprayed into the nose. Vaccination, the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. Immunization, a process by which a person becomes protected against the disease through vaccination. This term is often used interchangeably with vaccination or inoculation. These definitions have been in place since at least May 16th of 2018. Here's the definition of terms for immunizations now, which was updated on September 1st, 2021. Immunity, protection from an infectious disease. If you are immune to a disease, you can be exposed to it without becoming infected. Vaccine, a preparation that is used to stimulate the body's immune response against diseases. Vaccines are usually administered through needle injections, but some can be administered by mouth or sprayed into the nose. Vaccination, the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce protection from a specific disease. Immunization, a process by which a person becomes protected against a disease through vaccination. This term is often used interchangeably with vaccination or inoculation. So, in a week, a vaccine went from being something that produces immunity to a specific disease to something that merely stimulates the body's immune response against diseases. And a vaccination no longer produces immunity to a disease, just protection from a disease. Why did the CDC suddenly redefine vaccine and vaccination to make them sound similar to your basic non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug or a prescription drug that you have to keep taking regularly? The reason why is because the COVID vaccines do not protect you, they do not give you immunity from COVID, and they are making billions and billions of dollars off of the people of the world by selling their non-effective vaccines. That's why. From Fox, Biden's vaccination mandate doesn't include, oh no, that can't be. It doesn't include illegal immigrants. Biden announced a sweeping plan that could force millions of unvaccinated Americans to get the COVID-19 shot, but left out mandating the vaccine for illegal immigrants crossing the border. Biden announced that all employers with more than 100 employees will be forced to either require their employees to get vaccinated against COVID-19 or mandate weekly testing for the virus. Biden also announced that the remaining 17 million healthcare workers employed in facilities that receive federal Medicare or Medicaid also will have to be fully vaccinated. Together, the two groups represent about 100 million Americans who are having their rights taken away when illegal immigrants into the United States of America that are probably COVID-infected, and even if they're not, they don't have to be vaccinated at all. They want these people in here as little super spreaders all over the red states so that they can keep the numbers high in those red states, and it will gain the advantage of them politically in the next elections. This is exactly what's going on. We know this is true. We've been talking about this for months and months and months. If he cared about the people of America and vaccine importance, he would have said these people had to be vaccinated as well, and he doesn't. We know that this is an agenda. From DC Patriot, Facebook post from TV station, whoops, accidentally reveals more people are dying from the vaccine than the media is reporting. A local ABC news station accidentally opened up Pandora's box with a recent and now viral Facebook post, currently boasting 64,000 plus shares. The post asked for stories about people that lost a loved one because they weren't vaccinated. What ended up happening was a massive deluge of comments from people that had lost loved ones right after the vaccine instead. The number of actual deaths and side effects from the vaccine is something many suspect the media, Big Pharma, this illegal administration, and the CDC are personally covering up. Apparently, the CDC doesn't consider anyone that dies within 2 weeks of the vaccine as an actual vaccination death. And of this post is, as telling as it seems to be, a lot more people are dying from this vaccine than anything else. The vaccine clearly doesn't stop people from getting COVID, and it's got a lot of people wondering why they're pushing at it so hard at all. I screenshot as many comments as I could, as Facebook is already targeting the post and asking people if they really want to share it. I think people really do, and that means it's really going to get taken down really soon. From Newsweek, over 14,000 vaccinated people. Now, wait a minute. This is Newsweek. This isn't just some right-wing conspiracy paper here. Over 14,000 vaccinated people with breakthrough COVID cases have been hospitalized or died. Now, looking at the last article, we know that the number is probably much, much higher, but this is just what they're reporting. More than 14,000 vaccinated people in the U.S. have suffered severe illness from a breakthrough coronavirus infection. As of September 7th, at least 11,440 people who had a breakthrough case have been hospitalized, and another 2,674 people who had a breakthrough infection, meaning they got the vaccine, they still have died, according to data from the CDC. Of these figures, 25% of breakthrough hospitalizations and 21% of breakthrough deaths were among asymptomatic individuals, or their hospital admission or death was not related to COVID-19, although they tested positive for the coronavirus. Things are not as they seem out there, and things are being fudged out there. From Zero Hedge, UK government says vaccine passports integral to COVID winter plan one day after they were supposedly scrapped. If you saw that they were scrapped, apparently not. From the Times of Israel, health minister on hot mic. This is in Israel. Health minister on hot mic. Some COVID restrictions are to incentivize vaccines. They're lying to their people. And he got caught on a hot mic saying it. I'll read it again. Times of Israel. Health minister on hot mic. Some COVID restrictions are to incentivize vaccines. From Reason.com, let's get away from COVID for a minute. But COVID has everything to do with this next article as well. Biden's total financial surveillance. Imagine living in a world where every one of your non-cash financial transactions, a restaurant meal, a Venmo transfer to a friend, maybe some Bitcoin bought on the dips, was automatically reported to a beefed-up, audit-hungry IRS. That dystopia will become a reality if Biden gets his way. Biden, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, and key capital allies such as Senator Elizabeth Warren are pushing a vast, intrusive financial surveillance system in the name of closing the tax gap. But don't worry, there's no need to fear if you've got nothing to hide. For already compliant taxpayers, the only effect of this regime is to provide easy access to summary information on financial accounts and to decrease the likelihood of costly, no-fault examinations, the Treasury Department said in a nakedly authoritarian document called the American Families Plan Tax Compliance Agenda. But for non-compliant taxpayers, the department continues, this regime would encourage voluntary compliance as evaders realize that the risk of evasion being detected has risen noticeably. The admin's proposed comprehensive financial accounting reporting regime would dramatically increase the types of financial institutions and transactions exposed to the Fed's prying eyes. All business and personal accounts from financial institutions, including bank, loan, and investment accounts, would be forced to report gross inflows and outflows to the IRS. And not just bank accounts. The dragnet would now include PayPal, settlement companies, and crypto asset exchanges, for starters. The new domestic surveillance program, which requires congressional approval, is one prong of a tripartite strategy for transforming the entire global financial system into a harmonious, haven-free collection funnel to the IRS. The second part, which has taken up the bulk of Biden's multilateral diplomacy thus far, is getting the industrialized world to agree upon a global minimum corporate tax rate of 15%, while setting up a system to prevent multinational companies from registering their profits in the lowest tax jurisdictions. Cutting corporate taxes is a self-defeating competition, Yellen said in April, and neither Biden nor I are interested in participating in it anymore. We want to change the game. In July, representatives from 130 countries, including finance ministers from the G20, representing the world's richest democracies, agreed in principle to a worldwide minimum corporate tax. We have a change now to build a global and domestic tax system. Doesn't this sound like the Book of Revelation to you? Yellen crowed. The race to the bottom is one step closer to coming to an end. The agreement still has significant obstacles to overcome, namely the legislatures of 130 countries, including the U.S. Congress, but Yellen has some cause to be cocky, because the third prong of Washington's strategy has already been constructed. In 2009, Obama promised to generate $210 billion in new tax revenue over 10 years by cracking down on overseas tax loopholes. Well, the corporate tax element of the plan was quickly killed by lobbyists. The individual component remained in the form of the 2010 Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act. Built on a foundation of American exceptionalism, the U.S. is one of only two countries that tax citizens living abroad. FATCA imposed onerous new annual reporting requirements on Americans with more than $10,000 in overseas financial institutions. The law brazenly threatened international banks if they didn't rat out on their U.S. clients to the IRS. The results were predictable. Expats were locked out of banking services, record numbers of mostly middle-class Americans renounced their U.S. citizenship, and IRS collections went essentially unchanged. But for a very small political price, no one much cares about the estimated 9 million Americans living abroad. Washington's ability to compel global transaction data sounds like something out of a Philip K. Dick novel. Yet here we are. Unless we consciously cover our tracks, another concern is that the information reporting regime will shift taxpayers toward a greater use of cash. The Treasury Department's compliance plan frets, and once they start doing that, they'll get rid of cash altogether. Mark my words, that'll be the next thing coming along. It also notes that cryptocurrencies already pose a significant detection problem by facilitating illegal activity broadly, including tax evasion. Cash and crypto may be the last currencies compatible with privacy. I promised to lead the world to deliver a foreign policy for the middle class, and today we are doing just that, Biden said, after the 130-country agreement, just as long as the middle class has nothing to hide. And the fact is that they're trying to sell this to the American people by saying that this will take care of the tax loopholes for the rich. That's not the case at all. It's the IRS tax laws that give the rich tax loopholes. It's you that can't afford to use them that will be targeted by this. The rich are still going to remain rich, and they're going to get richer off of your tax dollars. That's what's going to happen. And the lowest income people, they'll have wealth transferred to them. They're known to squander their wealth as soon as they get it. So what they'll do is they'll go spend it in the corporate area, like Walmart and so on, and their rates will continue to get higher and higher, and they'll get richer and richer. That's all that's happening, is it is robbing the middle class. They're taking from the middle class, it's going to the corporate. The corporate says, okay, we'll give some money to the poor people. The poor people go out and spend their money, squandering it away. That money goes back into the corporate America. See what's going on? They're getting rid of the middle class by doing what they're doing. All right, two more titles and then we'll be done. Actually, I have something else for you before we finish, but two more titles for you. Epic Times, Rutgers student says he's being stopped from taking online classes because he's unvaccinated. Can you imagine that? He's at home. He's obeying his little lockdown or whatever, and they're taking him off of their rolls at Rutgers University because he doesn't have his vaccination. And from Zero Hedge, 170 Stanford faculty members urge DOJ to stop looking for Chinese spies in America because it causes racial profiling. That's what's going on in America today. Now, I understand that the news is very bad. I understand that our freedoms are being taken away by nonsensical things like COVID-19, where you have a 99.8% chance of surviving from it. And I do understand that people die from COVID. We had somebody in the church die just recently. I did the funeral for. It was very sad for all of us. But the fact is that 99.8% of the infections do not result in death. But I would say the number's probably pretty high with those people that are getting vaccinated. So, with all of these troubles and with all of the tax stuff that's leading into the end times global one world monetary system, global one world government, global one world religion, and all that kind of stuff, we have a hope that transcends this world. And I thought I'd read you today the 121st Psalm to remind you of where your priorities should lie. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I will lift my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, you might be watching this report and thinking, well, I'm okay with the Lord. Well, the fact is that if you haven't called on Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, you are not right with the Lord. You need to come to Jesus Christ, acknowledging that you have sinned. The gospel message is very simple. It's found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Christ died for your sins. Christ was buried. Christ rose again. That is the gospel message. God did this just for you. Christ died for your sins, meaning that you're a sinner. Christ was buried, proving that he was dead. He was in the grave after being crucified. Christ rose again. Christ came out of the grave, proving, one, that he had no sin, because the wages of sin is death. So if he had sinned, he'd still be in the grave to this day. And he came out of that grave. So he proved that he had no sin. And he proved, therefore, that he is fully God, because all sin travels from father to child, father to child. His father was not a human. His father is God. And therefore, he is fully man, because his mother is a human being. He is fully God, because his father is God. And therefore, he is the God-man. He is able to bridge the gap back to his heavenly father for you. And there is no other expression on this earth which will allow that to happen. Your sin, God's holiness, his love, his mercy, his grace, all of these things are tied up in the cross of Jesus Christ. You can either reject it and be chucked into the pit of hell, it's called the lake of fire, or you can ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and he will do so graciously of everything you've ever done wrong, and he will give you a better hope than this crummy, fallen world. I would pray that you would do that today. So, such is the world we live in, and from Sarasota, Florida, to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, and New Zealand, and Australia, and Quebec, and all over the place. I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your midweek CG report.